I must be saved. I must be saved. For Jesus' sake, forgive me, Lord. Hide all my sins. I must be saved. For Him, oh, I must be saved. I must be saved. I must be saved. For Jesus' sake, forgive me, Lord. Hide all my sins. I must be saved. For Him, oh, once I had thought that I'd wait for old age ere I'd surrender, be steady. But then came the thought, what if God called my soul, and deep in sin I'm not ready? So I must be saved. I must be saved. I must be saved. For Jesus' sake, forgive me, Lord. Hide all my sin. I must be saved for Him. Let's close our eyes, lift up our hands, and just magnify the Lord for just a few minutes here this morning. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. Oh, we magnify Your name, Lord. We magnify Your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. What a great privilege it is to be in this state, in this district. And I give honor to all of you that are here today that are in leadership, and those of you that helped to put the meeting together. And we just pray that somehow today that we can flow with the tone and the tenor of the purpose and the spirit of the meeting. See, all of us are working in this thing together. I need you. Praise the Lord. And I hope that I can be a blessing to you some way. It's our purpose that we would be a blessing. Praise the Lord. And since this is a revival conference, I think that we should keep that in mind all through the conference. The flavors or the approaches to subjects are differing with the personalities of the people, but it's all one God. And revival is many things, and revival has been many things through all these years, but we're all still in this great truth, and we're having revival. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for what He's going to do today before we read the Scriptures today. God, we do love You today. We thank You for Your goodness today. Amen. Opening your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, and so good to see all of you. I've known many of you through many, many years, and been such a privilege to be with you in all kinds of meetings. Now, already my lens is falling out of my bifocals, and it's these crazy little old plastic retainers. And so if I get garbled up here and skip a line or two, it's not old age. Really, it isn't that at all. It's just my glasses. I'm not going to get old. I'm not planning on doing that. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that, though. Nothing wrong with it. Some people get old at age 20. They're old. They can't even hardly get out of the house at 20 or 25 because they're old in their mind. Amen. My Bible says things ought to be new every day. In the morning, I mean, get up and be brand new every day. Get excited about the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, reading from the 7th verse down through the 17th verse. And mark it up as you go along, because you'll see some things here that will perhaps benefit you. Do ye look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as He is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority which the Lord hath given us, for edification and not for your destruction. Quite a contrast there, isn't it? Some people claim they want revival, and they devastate things about as quick as God can build them. Sometimes, you know, we're ashamed of the converts that God gives us. We duck around the corner, and if they haven't lined up on every little deal of holiness within the first few weeks. People don't grow a yard of hair in 2 or 3 weeks. And I don't know about you, but there's some work still needs to be done. Think of how long it's taken me to be as holy as I am. Amen. How many are
about as persuaded, you're about as holy as you're ever going to get. How many have already decided that? The Lord waited another 50 years to come. I don't think, Brother Chester, I'll be any holier 50 years from now. I am right now. I love holiness. Now get the picture here now. Revival doesn't give us license to be angry or boastful about what we have and you don't have. Hey, we're all here together. If you pastor 20 people or 2,500, same God. Come on. Hallelujah. Wave your hand. Amen. Clap your hands again for the Lord there. Let's read a little bit more. He said, which the Lord hath given us for edification, not for your destruction. I should not be ashamed that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Let such and one think this, that such as we are in word by letter, when we are absent, such will we be able also indeed when we are present. In other words, you're going to be the same guy wherever you are. When people see you coming, they think it's going to get better, they think it's definitely going to get worse. Verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. In other words, patting themselves on the back about, boy, we got it going in our place. But they measuring themselves by themselves are, and, you know, comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of the things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure as though we reached and unto you, for we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure. What? But what does it say here? But of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Oh, God, help us to be cured of this terminal condition of patting ourselves on the back and making ourselves to believe that we are really somebody special. But help us to see how definitely we need you in this service today so that we can do the work of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord today. Amen. You may be seated. Knowing the time is very short that I have to speak to you today, I enjoy preaching, enjoy teaching, enjoy worshiping the Lord. But I want to talk to you today about the measure of revival. The measure of revival. Consultants in church growth tell us that a person that has a church that he pastors of 200 people has to gain about 37 people per year to stay at 200. And many times we can look at our little date book and we can look at our Sunday school register and we can feel defeated. We can think, we're not growing, I'm going to leave this town, I'm going to go somewhere else. I remember a few years ago there was a man, he called me and said, Grace, he said, I need your prayers. He'd attended enough big meetings and meetings such as this. Don't get the idea that this meeting is going to do you in. But if we can get some focus. But if you go home from this meeting with a wrong perspective on your particular field of labor, and you are discouraged by the fact that when you compare yourself with somebody else, you're persuaded that you have never done anything, then this meeting will not have been as productive for you as it should have been. Because we're not here to make any promises, we're going to break any records or set any new goals that's going to put a strain on us. But we just need to be vessels through which the Lord can move. But this man says, I'm telling you, he said, I just can't get it done. He said, this church has been at 200 for years, and he said, it's not growing, and it's not doing this, and not doing that. And church growth consultants say that if you have 500, you have to grow about 70-some to stay at 500. So if you've been at 200 for 10 years, you have produced more than what you are. And God does not want you going around acting like nothing's happening. You need to be so thankful every time you come to the house of God. And don't put yourself on a guilt trip. I said, where are you, man? He said, I'm at the church. I've been fasting and praying for 3 days here. And he said, I think I'm going to resign the church. I said, get out of that church. Get out of there quick and get your wife by the hand and go walking somewhere along the lake shore and get some sand between your toes. I said, if that fasting is making you discouraged to the point that you're going to leave the church because you're not growing, that's not God. What has happened is he was measuring himself by somebody else, and the person he's measuring himself by may not have won anybody at all to the Lord. Maybe all his growth has been somebody's church closed down a few blocks up the road, and he has all kind of records that he's setting. But oh, when you count it all up, what do we do? Did we just lift the basket a little bit, put a few eggs over here and a few eggs over there? You see, God does not want us measuring ourselves among ourselves. If you have a move of God and you're still in the program and the lights are still on, don't do what God has done. Oh, hallelujah. He'd been to one too many big meetings, and he came back instead of being stimulated to do more. He thought he'd had done nothing. That's exactly what the enemy wants us to think today. I'm going to tell you, if you still got the lights on, you're able to pay this month's bill, you have a move of God, and you're still living for the Lord, don't do yourself in by telling yourself you're not as good as somebody else. You're just as good a preacher as anybody you ever see. You've got a God that can anoint you and put everything in order. Come on now. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Don't measure yourself by one another. The measure of revival is not measured by how many you had in Sunday school last week. Praise the Lord. Interestingly here, these adjectives just seem to leap from the pages. Measure, rule, stretch, reached. As far as you. And then it says, beyond you. So obviously here, the Bible is giving us a graphic picture of growth. I begin to think of how dynamic my pastor was and how wonderful his wife was and all. And really in the time period in which they were training us, possibly in my lifetime, even having sat under their ministry and maybe didn't even hardly move from just under their protective wing for many, many years. In the first place I got to preach outside the local church, my pastor wanted to know, how did that happen? How do they know you? Oh, he was protecting me. You see, he believed in the ethic that you didn't even contact somebody in somebody's church, even invite them to come over and give a sermonette unless you call the pastor. Because you see, we got too many people that are able to look and see the talent of some particular other pastor that dug people out. I've watched old men work on a job, start 4 or 5 churches, and not even be trusted to start a 5th church because it was less than 5 miles from the last one they started, with 3 or 4 or 5 preachers being supported by the labors of an old fellow that's still a mechanic, grease under his fingernails, pioneering churches, and not even trusted to start another church. If we want revival, if this thing reaches to your county, it ought to reach to the next county. If a man of God has started 4 or 5 churches, the pastors that are living off of the means of that man's labors ought to put their money together and say, hey, we'll support him. He's done it 4 or 5 times already. That's revival. But when we begin to get selfish, we look at bank deposits more than we look at altars. We begin to look at all the other things instead of the tears that stain the pages of the Bible. If we really want revival, friend, we'd be glad for whatever God can do anywhere at any time. As far as you, reach beyond. And the whole thing is this thing's got to go further than you. How far has it gone since it got to you? Or did it get a blood clot when it got to you? Come on now, I'm not mean now. I really am not mean. I'm a nice little fellow. But oh, I begin to think of our pastor probably in all the meetings that he preached. And I'm not saying to boast. You ought to do greater things than your pastor. And your children ought to do greater things than you. My boy that's 18 years of age now, he's anointed. His mind is just flowing with the anointing of Almighty God. He ought to be able to preach better than his daddy. I'm not the one that's trying to show how good or great I am. I'm going to tell you, the gospel's what's great. It's not me. If it's reached me, it ought to reach beyond me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And when we get to the place that we can sit on the pew and clap our hands and cheer another brother that's preaching and do what we can do to help this gospel to get a little further, that's what it's all about. That's what this meeting's all about. How far is it going to go after this meeting? Clap your hands unto the Lord. By the time you get home from this meeting, the world's population will have grown by more than we in the United Pentecostal Church are as a movement in North America. By the time I get home to Detroit, the world's population will have grown more than we are as a movement. That's alarming to me. And the Bible teaches us, of course, in this particular passage of Scripture, that it came to you and it came to me. And how far is it going to go to get beyond me? And what are we going to do to help it get beyond us? And what are we going to do to take it into the unreached areas of the world? I probably have preached to more people in my lifetime than my pastor ever preached to. Communication was not like it is today. Tapes weren't even really popular at that particular time. And, of course, many things. But, you see, it's not how much I preach or how much I haven't preached. It does matter what I've done with what I've received. Oh, let's clap our hands unto the Lord. But, oh, we don't like to hear words like, oh, we're not doing all that much. Well, you see, we don't want to be dumb like the naked emperor and think that we got our clothes on and nobody's got enough nerve to tell us we don't. I'm so thankful that I still know when I have my clothes on. It'd be terrible if I didn't know I didn't have my clothes on and I was out in the street somewhere. But you see, it don't matter how many big meetings and how much sweat and spit and stew and just foaming at the mouth and doing all those things. We ought to be able to inspire each other once in a while, but what do we do after this meeting's over? We don't go home and talk in tongues. I do well to talk in tongues a few times a week. I don't talk in tongues on Monday morning. It don't matter how much I talk in tongues. That is not going to reach the world. My tongue talking won't reach the world. Hallelujah. It's the gospel that's got to reach the world. And we believe that the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord. And if I were to invite you to my city and I said, I'm going to show you the New Hope graveyard out here at the edge of my town. We're going to have a resurrection service out here next Sunday. And you say, well, one problem, Brother Christian, there's nobody buried there. That's well, the following week we're going to have, a burial service. One problem here. There's nobody dead yet. I'm going to tell you, we've got to get back to preaching the bloody message. Take ourselves back to the cross again. Preach repentance. Preach hell hot. Preach the blood strong. And hallelujah. And when we can get more people on that altar willing to separate themselves from their sin, then we'll have somebody to bury. And we'll have somebody to rejoice in the power of the resurrection. It's got to reach further than a sermon. Oh, let's praise the Lord. Stand up and just shout real good and then sit back down. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The measure. The measure of revival. Let's say the measure of revival. You can be seated. When Xerox isn't doing so well, they call a board meeting and they talk about Xerox. And they talk about Canon. And they talk about all their competitors. And if somebody in Xerox meeting, he says, hey, we aren't doing all that good. And somebody says, you be quiet. We don't want to hear anything from you unless it's positive. And don't mention Canon in here in our presence. Hear me? Well, it don't matter whether they mention Canon or not. They're going to have to face them down in the market somewhere. Amen. You might as well mention them. Coca-Cola gets a little concerned if Pepsi-Cola cuts into their market. They think, well, why in the world would anybody get any of our market? We've got the best thing going. But you see, the guys that's buying the other product don't know that yours is the best. But you see, if we don't ever get it out there where people can sample it, they don't know whether it's good or bad. But oh, we have tasted it and we have seen that the Lord is good. But somebody's got to get a taste. Oh, hallelujah. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Got to give them a taste. And then when you begin to see that obviously all these places, you know, if they were giving a territory, if you have a territory and you're in a sales business, and they say, well, how was your product and how was the distribution of the product in your territory last quarter? Oh, I'd rather not get into that if you don't mind, but oh, we had some good meetings, I tell you. Oh, we had some good meetings. We had some of the best speakers that you'll ever hear. And oh, it was great. No, we don't want to know how many good meetings you had. We want to know how much product did you move there. Because if you don't move the product, I'm going to have to get somebody else that's sold enough on the product, they'll move the product. It's not going to do any good to have a great product and it's not moving. It doesn't do us any good to come around and pat each other on the back and talk about how many good meetings we have. We got enough preaching derbies now that we almost need to form a league somewhere. But oh, it's more than a preaching derby. We got to do something to get this gospel out there. It's got to move somewhere beyond where we are. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Clap your hands unto the Lord. The gospel. Got to move it. I remember, when I was working for an engineering company and they assigned me a job that I hated to admit I didn't know how to do it. That's an ego situation, see. Don't act like that's just me. If you're one of the leaders and you're kind of supposed to know the answers, it's embarrassing to say, hey, guys, you work under me, but I don't even know how to work this problem. We all like to give all the answers, but finally, every time the boss would come through, I'd put my head down, I'd get my slide rule out, and I'd look in the other way. I'd get real busy. I'd get down close to my page and my drawing board, and the boss would go through. Made it again. And finally, one day, every time he came by to go to the restroom or go to the coffee urn, he'd look at me, and I'd look at him, and I'd get this. I didn't want to make eye contact with him. He's the one giving me my paycheck, you know. So finally, one day, he came by, and he said, Charlie, you remember that job I gave you to do a while back? And I said, yes, sir, Mr. Anderson. He said, what do you say you just get at that right now and do that, okay? And man, just that little bit of a nudge. I thought, man, I got 5 kids at home, and they got to have groceries. My wife, I'm going to tell you, I'm embarrassed. I asked the Lord, hey, Lord, help me. Help me with this. And I went to my architecture graphic standards book, and I began to look through pages of pages, and I think I found it on 17 and 28. I think, man, oh, man, it just opened after I was in prayer. I got the answers as to how to work the particular equation, and I didn't need to tell anybody. I didn't know how. The Lord bailed me out. He didn't want me to be humiliated. Oh, hallelujah. I answered the question. I worked the problem, turned the job in, and he came over to me and he said, after the job was turned in, he said, Charlie, you know what I've learned about life? He said, the hardest part of any job is just getting at it. Just getting at it. Amen. Just getting at it. And you see, if we haven't moved this thing, oh, hallelujah, if we haven't moved this thing, if you worked on a pipeline, you don't get out there digging the same place. You move it on. Get to this road crossing. Bore under here. Dig on here. If you hit a rock, you don't say, we stop here. No, they bring the ditching machine in, go as far as they go. Well, they bring the backhoe in and hack it all out of there, and the ditching machine's way on up there. The backhoe's cleaning up all these little places they can't get through. And finally, they look up there and they say, this spread is about complete. Up there at that next road marker, we're out of here. Oh, hallelujah. And oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, we need to get this thing moving because it won't be long till we're out of here. Ha ha! You know why? God is getting us ready. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. If you want to be a part of revival, stand and jump a little bit here. Let's say, God, help me to get motivated to get the gospel out there. Glory. You can be seated. Brother B.E. Eccles, he said, some pastors put him in mind of a farmer that buys 1,000 acres and fences it all. Fences it all. It only farms 1 acre. This is my city. Oh, I wouldn't even want to go to God for my block. I wouldn't want to go to God for my neighborhood. Oh, if you've ever really imagined how horrible hell really is, or how great heaven really is, there's something that we've got to realize. That this is more than a patty cake religion. We've got to move this thing and stretch it and move beyond and reach beyond and get beyond and go beyond. Hallelujah. Glory. The insurance actuary is profiling 100 men, you know, 25 years of age, starting out in business. 40 years later, 36 were dead. 54 were financially dependent on family or charity. 5 barely able to make a living. 4 were well-to-do. And 1 is rich. Oh, yes, maybe some ill fortune fell to these families, a few of them, but most just lack the character of seeing things through. Most people just simply are waiting on the world to come to them. But you see, when it's something that involves you and your very sustaining power for your family and all, you've got to get out of that bed in the morning. You've got to get on the streets during the day. You've got to have a smile somewhere if you're going to sell insurance or beans or bread or fruit at a fruit stand. You can't do it sitting back on your hind side. God said, get this thing out of there and get it into the marketplace. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, good beginning. Talk a big game. Talk a big game. But where are we going with what we have received passed on to us? To think that my pastor came into the city where my family came to God, you know, leading goats in the back of a covered wagon and selling bread house to house. And maybe he would not have won anybody's popularity contest, but he wasn't trying to win anybody's popularity contest. He was bringing the gospel to a city that was lost. And out of that particular thing, we can measure now what happened. My mother received the Holy Ghost in a revival when she was a Baptist lady. My grandmother, an illiterate Indian lady, couldn't even sign her own name, had enough sense to obey the gospel, brought our family to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And today, I'm taking it a little further. Hallelujah. I'm taking it into the regions that I haven't reached. And that's the purpose. If we were to profile our entire movement and look at the few people that have impacted our movement, many of them would trace back to Bible colleges, and all of us have a common background somewhere in our lineage. Somebody brought the gospel. Somebody taught the message. Somebody got us to the Lord, and we got somebody else to the Lord, and they got somebody else to the Lord, and they're going to get somebody else to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may only be running 200 in Sunday school, but if you produce 5 preachers during a 10 or 15 year period of time, your Sunday school is not just how many you had that week. All of your boys, all of your laborers that are out there, well, you might be having a bad year, but they're having a good year. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because we're in this together. Glory! Magnify the Lord. Let's say we're in it together. The church at Ephesus, when we begin to look over those few first chapters of the book of Revelation, I began to get my little Bible map and scale out, and there was such a close proximity. It would just be like a rally circle, you know. The 7 churches of Asia, they're close proximity. And I began to notice how that there was a warning given, you know. I'm going to move the candlestick out of its place. It wasn't like I'm just going to kind of snuff out your blessing machine, you know. And the Lord wasn't saying, hey, you better be sweet now. I'm fixing to mess up your services. No, no. The Lord said, I got the stars in my hand. That's the preachers. And I'm going to tell you, when he's got you in his hand, and when the church is fixing to change address, he said, I'm moving the candlestick out of its place. He will say, you're fixing to become the biggest lodge in town. You can judge everything. You've got it all together. But, oh, you're going to go on and just think you're having church, but the church will have moved its location somewhere else because God is not going to share his glory with you or me or our program or whatever. If we don't magnify the Lord, if we don't remember how fortunate we were to get this gospel, he'll find somebody to praise him. I'm a holiness preacher through and through, but I'm going to tell you, I listened to the tapes of a meeting a while back that even amen sounded like a dog fight. We get one person that we think is not lining up on something, and we pick at them like a bunch of chickens in the barnyard. We pick at them till they bleed. We pick at them till they die. We pick at them till they run off, and then we say they never were any good anyhow. It's amazing. We didn't feel that way about it when we first saw them, and when they put a few dollars in the plate. Oh, hallelujah. How much we love people should not be commensurate on how much they give or don't give. There's times when I wish I could give everything back to certain people in the church. Oh, unless they give them all their money back. But I've robbed them of a blessing. But oh, I value every soul that the Lord sends our way. Oh, hallelujah. The gospel worked. It reached them, and now they're going to reach to somebody else. Hallelujah! The measure of revival. Clap your hands again to the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Do it again with feeling. Oh, the words of the scripture here says, oh, you're pretty good. You can judge everything. You really know how to judge things. But somehow or another, in all of your judgment, you have departed from something that you needed at the beginning that you better have now. Guy a while back, he said, Gresham, I can't figure you out. He said, I know how you're believing on holiness and all those things. He said, I know how strict you are in your church, and I know this and that and the other. And he said, I can't figure you out. He says, you get invited to some meetings, he said, I think that they're so strict they don't even hardly believe in deodorant. And he said, then you get invited to some meetings that, he said, I don't even know whether they believe fat meat's greasy. He said, how do you get an invitation to both places? I said, it's a good question. I said, what's wrong with preaching Jesus? That ought to work anywhere. Hallelujah. That ought to work anywhere. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And until we can make a friend of somebody, we will never win them over to our persuasion or to our standards of doctrine or holiness or anything. I'm going to tell you, we got to love the lost. We got to reach beyond. Oh, let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Nikeo means conquering. And laos means laity. Departed from first love. Ephesus church was tossed to and fro. The Apostle Paul said over in Ephesians, he said, don't tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If you and I don't get a real deep-rooted experience in God and know that this gospel is more than just a patty cake situation, I believe it takes Acts 2:38 to be saved. Hallelujah. I'm not just toying around with that friend. That's the gospel. If that isn't the gospel, tell me what is. Hmm. Nicolaitans advocated a compromise of the world system so they could take part without embarrassment and no stigma. I don't find it comfortable for me to sit on the platform with Islam or Confucius, or although I can treat them kind and be nice to them on the street, but I'm not sharing the same platform with people that don't even believe in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They say, well, that's bigoted. Bigoted or not, my friend, I don't think that in the days of Moses that they sent back over into Egypt to hire a band to come over and entertain them over so they could get near to God. Oh, no, Jehovah and the worship of Jehovah was to remain a pure thing. Hallelujah. And in the day and age in which we live, we need to more than have the acceptance of the people in our town. We better be sure we got the blessings of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Because if this gospel doesn't get beyond, it's not going to go anywhere. We'll just have patty cake religion, have good church services. It takes more than good church services. Oh, the measure of revival. How good was that revival in 1932 that my grandmother came into? 300 people in two summers times, H.F. Wilkins preaching revival, Kent revival. How good was that revival when my mother, that was a good Baptist lady, carrying me in her arms, went to the altar and got filled with the Holy Ghost. How good was that revival? How good was that revival? How good was that revival? That revival lived on. Hallelujah. That revival lived on through me. That revival lived on through my aunts and uncles. That revival lived on through my nephews and nieces. That revival lives on to those our disciples. That revival lives on to the disciples that they've won to the Lord. That revival lives on in North Dakota. That revival lives on in Detroit, Michigan. That revival lives on wherever, hallelujah, where the gospel has reached beyond. We stretched a little bit. We reached a little bit. We measured a little further. Hallelujah. It got here. It's going there. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to the ends of the earth. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many are glad for the revival that reached you? Let's praise Him again. I measured my Bible map. I took my little scale. Patmos was about 24 miles off the coastline. Just a good boat ride. Oh, John, I'm sure that the crew that picked him up and said, "Hey, Buzzard Bait, get in the boat here. He's taking you out here. You're too smart for this. You're being real dumb. Look at those buzzards floating around up there. You know what they're doing. They got you spotted now. You're on the menu." And you didn't need to do this, as smart as you are, as eloquent as you are, as gifted as you are. Well, you could just cut back on just a little bit of that far-out stuff and that specific plan and business and get along with people. Why, you could be far more accepted in the community. I don't believe we need to go around trying to see how much of a poor reputation we have by how crazy we are and how dumb we act. We ought to love everybody from the mayor to the jailer. But, oh, hallelujah, don't change your message. The revival has to continue, and you can't water down it to accommodate the people of the town. Very likely, you know, he said, "Now, John, I'm just giving you a few more minutes to think about it. We're getting near. See those clouds floating there? Just a few minutes, we're going to have you over there, and we're going to just boot you out, and you're going to become buzzard bait." And John, he said, "Well, I suppose he'd probably be just about like the Apostle Paul was. He probably says, well, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Buzzard bait or buzzard bait or buzzard bait. Hallelujah. French fry him in oil or whatever. But when he bubbled his way into eternity, hallelujah, or whatever the case would be, whatever it was, from a pot of oil or from the beak of a buzzard, he said, when you sift this all down and when you get it all down, it's going to be Acts 2:38 through and through. I'm holiness through and through. Hallelujah. Buzzard bait or French fry or whatever. I'm going to serve the Lord because it got to me from somewhere. I'm taking it somewhere. As long as I live, I'm going to preach the gospel." Clap your hands unto the Lord. And then the Bible said one day, I'm just skipping over some of this here. I know I've got about 20 minutes here, I believe, something like that. And so, one day, you're probably thinking this whole thing over. Just a big old buzzard just floating down, just kind of zero in on him. The Bible says, and then one day, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. It's amazing what will happen when you get in the Spirit, no matter what day it is. And he possibly would think, well, if devil, if you know anything about what's going on right now, I see the New Jerusalem. I see my name in one of the foundations. Oh, devil, you didn't get me. Look and see what I see. Oh, hallelujah. You can know one thing for sure. If you'll preach the gospel, if you'll be faithful, you can endure all things. Hallelujah. You can come out of this thing in a blaze of victory, and the gospel will take you not only from here to there, but it'll take you into the glory world. If the same Spirit dwells in you that dwelt in Him, it shall quicken your mortal body by the power that works in us. Clap your hands unto the Lord. The Nicolaitans advocated a compromise in that world system. You know, it could take part in the world system without any embarrassment or no stigma, harmonizing heathen practices with the Christian faith. Sounds kind of familiar with what we live in today. You know, ministry that wants form instead of ritual, and instead of God's grace and power, they just want form and liturgy. Oh, I'm in favor of everything that we can do to dignify this thing. I don't want them to think we're a bunch of harebrains, but oh, when it comes time to worship God, I can't care who's present, the mayor, the doctor, or the next door neighbor, or the guy at the car washer. When this Holy Ghost comes on, hallelujah, the power that saved me, I'm not going to be guilty of binding that spirit. Clap your hands unto the Lord. They begin to worship their worship. And they begin to worship their ministry. Oh, we got a real guy there now. He has really got it together. He can preach and he knows the Greek. And he knows how to get us out of there by a reasonable time on Sunday. I preached a revival a number of years ago, and a man told me, he said, I got them spoiled. I said, be very careful. Don't keep them late because I want them to like you. I want them to like you because they do like you, but I want them to really like you. And so that day, boy, what can an evangelist do? Preach the move of God into the place, magnify the Lord. The altar filled up. I couldn't say, I'm sorry. Sorry, Lord. Sorry, big boy. Sorry. Everybody, sorry, Pastor. And oh, the pastor said, we won't be able to get in any restaurant around here. Why, they'll all be filled up and the Baptists will beat us down there. We just might as well not even plan on eating today. I'm sitting there with my Bible thinking, oh, I'm so sorry. I messed up a good service. I messed up a good meal. Here I am guilty of a terrible sin of actually preaching some people into the altar. Well, you see, we can't have these Baptist deals. You can't accept Christ and breeze your way onto the silent bar. Hallelujah. It takes tears to get loose from sin. It takes contrition. It's going to mess up your schedule. But what's going to happen is the gospel will see them through and thrust them. Hallelujah. Into more than raising their hand and signing a card. It'll take the gospel into the unreached areas of the world. Clap your hands unto the Lord. The gospel. Let's say the gospel. Let's say the gospel. Philadelphia church, you know, Scripture said that they had a little strength. You know, I have an open door set before you. No man can shut it. You have the key of David. They knew how to worship. And they knew who Jesus was. They had a key. It was more than worshiping their worship or worshiping their choir or worshiping their building structure or all of those things. Oh, all these things are nice to have. But oh, when we begin to be sold on ourselves and we begin to get captivated by reading our own press and the gospel is stopped and it doesn't reach anybody. And the Lord said, as long as you worship like that, and as long as you know who I really am, there's an open door. You can go anywhere. It's going to work for you. Clap your hands to the Lord. The Laodicean church, you know, told of them, you're rich, increased in goods, don't need anything. And there wasn't anyone that could even be addressed. There was knocking on all the doors, the back door, the window, screaming, anybody home? You see, when we begin to get cold and indifferent, there's not anybody that's even awake enough. Is anybody able to hear? Is anybody able to come to the door? Oh, I think that we need to recognize that we need to keep a fresh appreciation of the power of the gospel. Remember often how it was when you knelt your knees at an altar and cried salty tears. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you remember when you went down to the waters of baptism? And oh, you felt clean and pure. Oh, hallelujah. Felt pure and clean. Felt forgiven. But how many of you remember when you got the real Holy Ghost? Not some la-la in your ear and some jibber-jabber. Oh, and that's hollering hallelujah to God of your brains. Oh, no. Just simply the Holy Ghost power and anointing filled you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto Him. wave your hand again there. Lord, I want to do your will. Amen. Come back again to the keyboard. I know I'm already probably a little bit over my time here. Amen. I must be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lately in our church and prayer meeting one night, Sister Betty Brown was praying, Brother Bigby. Oh, she can pray. She said, Oh, God, send revival. Give our pastor the revival that he longs for. Oh, I listened to her pray. I thought, oh, my God, thank you for her prayers, Lord. And she said, oh, Lord, send my pastor the kind of revival. It'll be so big, Lord, that he won't even know what to do with it. Then she said, pardon me, Lord. He'll know what to do with it. In other words, strike that last line. Lord. Strike that last line. He'll know what to do with it. Oh, praise the Lord. How many want to see God add to your church? How many want to see God add to your neighbor's church? Wave your hand there and love the Lord. Would you stand? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just leave you with this little illustration before I'm seated. I'm not anywhere near through, but Brother Holland said about 40, 45 minutes. I think we got a few minutes late start because we were all eating that good bread back there. I don't want to impose on anyone else's time, but I just want to just tell you how good it is to know the Lord. Do you really love the gospel? Do you really love the gospel? A true story was told a while back of two little boys that played down by the railroad track, and as the case usually is, parents had warned them, cautioned them many times, don't play on the railroad tracks. They'd get down, they'd listen to the rail, feel the vibration maybe a mile or so away, sign that a train was coming in. So the younger boy, he playing on the track and going to stay there just as long as he could, see the train coming, just defy all the odds. Got his foot hung in the trestle, and his shoe was caught and his foot was bleeding as he tried to tear it loose, and he couldn't get loose. And finally, here came the train, barreling in. Warning signs given. And finally, the little boy said, get back, don't you die too. Just before the train came, the bigger brother threw his body across the form of the little boy. And the train went over both of them, took them to their death. And the headlines of the paper the next morning told of the disaster. He says, two die at the railroad crossing. One was caught by the foot, and one was caught by the heart. Amen. How many of you really have your heart in this thing? How many really have your heart in this thing? Amen. I don't know what the order is. Would it be our 5 minutes here? Let's just come in for 5 minutes. Just magnify the Lord right quick. You can go back in just a moment. Let's magnify the Lord. Let's make this day a powerful move of this Spirit. Let's let the Lord move today. Let's get ready for the next preacher here in just a few moments. Come on, let's magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's magnify the Lord. Get a hold of your brother's hand there and say, Lord, get a hold of my heart. Get a hold of my mind. Get a hold of my spirit. Let me take this gospel somewhere it's never been. Take it to jail cells. Take it to nursing homes. Take it to the next town. Take it wherever, Lord. Take it to the hospitals. Take it wherever. Take it wherever, Lord. Let me get this gospel somewhere that it's never reached. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, sake, forgive me, Lord. Yes, hide all my sin. I must be saved for Him. Be saved. Oh, I must be saved. I must be saved for Jesus' sake. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, hide all my sin. I must be saved for.
Wave your hands there and thank the Lord for revival in your heart.
I must be saved. I must be saved. I must be saved for Jesus' sake. Forgive me, Lord. Hide all my sin. I must be saved for.
Two or three, you your brethren, join hands. Some of you are battling things. You need help from the Holy Ghost. Come on, let the Lord help you. You ladies, get a hold of several ladies' hands. Let's please the Lord.